In our first case this morning, 2023-0230, the estate of Catherine Tomlinson versus Megapool Warehouse. On behalf of the appellants, Mr. Graber. Good morning.
Good morning. Chief Justice Kennedy, Your Honors, and may it please the court. With the court's permission, I would ask to please reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. This appeal focuses on whether the trial court's local rule was in direct conflict with Civil Rule 39 because it permitted the appellee to withdraw her perfected jury demand without the appellant's consent on the basis that appellants had not separately submitted their own jury deposits.
Did she actually withdraw it, or did she simply ask for her $500 back?
She actually withdrew the jury demand, Your Honor. The appellee has conveyed the argument that she withdrew the deposit, but the deposit, there was no actual action that was taken by the appellee to withdraw that deposit. What did occur and what the record evidence shows in this case is that that deposit was never actually withdrawn. What did occur is the demand was withdrawn, the case was tried to the bench, and then following final entry of judgment, in the ordinary course of business, the clerk of courts issued a refund of costs, which included that jury deposit, because of course the jury was never convened. There was no jury trial that actually occurred.
So what happened at the point when the magistrate contacted the parties by video and said, would you consent to having this tried by a magistrate in a non-jury trial? Was there an actual formal withdrawal filed, or is it simply the consent to that action that you're deeming a withdrawal?
There was no formal motion to withdraw that was filed by the appellee. The appellee conveyed that it was her intention to withdraw the jury demand, and it was the appellants that filed a formal motion to maintain that jury trial.
But under Civil Rule 38, she really couldn't do that without the consent of all the parties, correct?
Exactly, Your Honor, and that's exactly what brings us here today. And that's exactly where the conflict arises, is the trial court found that by operation of its local rule, and because there was not duplicative jury deposits submitted by the appellants, that it was the appellee was permitted to withdraw her jury demand, which is in direct conflict with Civil Rule 39, which provides the exclusive methods of withdrawal for a perfected jury demand.
Sorry, I got the number off by one. Okay, thank you.
Of course, Your Honor. Going further off that point, and what did occur in this case and how the jury demand became attached and perfected, of course, starts with Civil Rule 38. And under Civil Rule 38, a party may demand a jury trial on all triable issues by indicating so in their initial pleading. An additional step may be required where a local rule requires an advance deposit, which has been found to be reasonable and moderate regulation of that right under this court's holding in Walters v. Griffith.
Counsel, this bench trial was kind of initiated by the magistrate, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. The magistrate essentially maintained the initial jury trial date, but it was converted to a bench trial date, but also set a secondary date, which would have been the sixth jury trial date within the case's life, essentially.
What was the reason the court gave for the September trial date not being able to go forward with a jury trial?
There was a conflict with other criminal matters on the court's docket, and so they were able to hold the bench trial but not a jury trial. And the local rule at issue here is Delaware County Local Rule 25.04, and specifically what that local rule provides is that a party seeking a jury trial must submit a $500 jury deposit at least 60 days in advance of the original first scheduled jury trial date. The failure to do so results in a waiver of the jury trial right, and if a case resolves after the jury is assembled, then the court keeps that deposit. And it's undisputed in this case that the requirements of both Civil Rule 38 were met by properly endorsing the caption of the complaint with jury demand endorsed hereon, and the requirements of Local Rule 25.04 were also met by timely advancing the deposit by appellee. That was appellee's action in both instances with the complaint and by timely advancing the deposit. And at that point, that's when her jury demand became perfected and attached to the action. And under Civil Rule 39, that's when it could not be withdrawn, but for as provided by the exclusive methods under Civil Rule 39, as Your Honor indicated, with consent of the parties or by the trial court making a finding that trial by jury as to all or some of the issues did not exist. Neither of those occurred in this case. There was no such finding by the trial court in this case, and appellants timely objected by filing their motion to maintain the jury trial. Nevertheless, the trial court overruled that objection, withdrew the jury. In effect, that finding resulted in a conflict between the local rule that exists in Delaware County and the existing Civil Rule 39 and its exclusive methods of withdrawing a perfected jury demand.
But it seems strange that if one party, so both parties can request a jury trial, correct?
Of course, Your Honor.
So one party makes the request, and that's the first party who makes the request is required to pay the $500, but it's only paid once, right? It's like the plaintiff and the defendant both don't pay $500 for a jury.
That can occur, Your Honor, but how the trial court has held its local rule to exist, it requires all parties that desire a jury trial, regardless if they so demanded under Civil Rule 38, and regardless if any party to the case has already perfected a jury trial right, to submit duplicative jury deposits. So in this case, the trial court held that it would have required three jury deposits. It would have required the appellee and then both appellants. So $1,500 in jury deposits to secure the cost of one $500 jury.
Are you alleging then that the local rule is in conflict with the civil rule?
Yes, Your Honor. And that conflict exists to the extent that the local rule permits the withdrawal at any point in the action, regardless of one of the litigants to a case already perfecting their jury trial right, permits that withdrawal at any point if another party in the case has not already paid a duplicative deposit. So it essentially doesn't matter if a party has perfected their jury trial rights if another party hasn't submitted additional deposits if they wish to have a jury trial as well. And that's essentially by operation of this local rule. And that's where the conflict exists. And I believe this court's opinion in Solaire is instructive in this regard. In Solaire, there was a plaintiff that made a jury demand in their complaint, but did not make another jury demand in their reply to the counterclaim. And that plaintiff then subsequently voluntarily dismissed the complaint that contained that jury demand. And what this court held is that jury demand remained effective despite the voluntary dismissal of the complaint, because the voluntary dismissal of that complaint is not one of the exclusive methods of withdrawal as contained under Civil Rule 39. And just as in Solaire.
Do you think that case was rightly decided?
Yes, Your Honor. It would be the appellant's position that this court did decide Solaire correctly. And consistent with this court's rule in Civil Rule 39 and providing an exclusive list, an exhaustive list, and the way that Civil Rule 39 reads. And because Civil Rule 39 reads as a jury demand may be withdrawn under this circumstance or this circumstance. It doesn't read as these two circumstances or any other reason that may be just or equitable. And it's the appellant's position that this court chose its language for a specific reason, and it should be applied for that reason.
Counsel, is the local rule really in conflict with the state rule? I mean, it just requires a jury demand and the deposit to perfect the jury demand. And to apply the local rule, they should have, after the withdrawal, if you still wanted a jury trial, the judge should have just said, you have to put up the money for it to perfect that jury demand.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's a great question. And to have an effective jury demand where there exists both the civil rule and a trial court's local rule, the jury demand is not effective until the moment that both requirements are met. And once both requirements are met, that's when the jury trial rights attach and become effective. So I know it seems simple and easy to say, okay, we'll take one deposit away and put another deposit in. But at the moment one deposit is taken away, that's the moment where now it's being withdrawn. The two are supplementary to one another. And once they are together, that's when the rights attach, and that's when we look to this court's Civil Rule 39.
But if you're at the point of trial, your local rule requires at least 60 days prior to the scheduled trial date. So if you look at the Solaire case, let's say a situation like that, you're in trial, plaintiff dismisses their action, there's a compulsory counterclaim. That means the plaintiff is still involved in the action. It's just that the defendant is saying, I have an action against you. At that point in Solaire, if you've got a local rule with 60 days, without Solaire, you wouldn't be able to have a jury trial in that case, correct?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe and from the appellant's position would be what Solaire would say is once those rights attach, and unless the circumstances of Civil Rule 39 take place, that action is designated as a jury action, and the parties are entitled to rely on that designation up until final judgment. And so 39 is the exclusive methods, and so unless the circumstances of Civil Rule 39 take place, then it shall remain a jury action, and the parties are entitled to rely on that designation.
But with this 60 days, and aside from the $500, you know, it does set up a conflict situation with Civil Rule 39, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it does.
I mean, I guess I'm kind of wondering, are we just overcomplicating things here? The Rule 38D says that a request for a jury demand cannot be withdrawn without consent of the parties. There was no consent of the parties, so it could not be withdrawn. So that seems the end of the story. Do we need to get to any of this other stuff?
I would agree, Your Honor. I think the record evidence shows that there was no consent of the parties.
It can't be withdrawn. Rule 38 says in very plain English, it can't be withdrawn without consent of the parties. So that should be the end of it, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And it would be the appellant's position that you are absolutely correct and agree. And upon that basis, the appellants would request that this matter be reversed, and a new jury trial should be ordered on all tribal issues.
Let me ask a quick question to follow up with that. If the consent needs to be, if there needs to be consent to withdraw, is the party who wants to withdraw still responsible for the deposit amount?
Yes, the party that wants to withdraw, that by virtue of making that advance deposit, they have taken that action and they've advance that deposit.
So they advance the deposit, they want to withdraw, you don't agree, you don't consent to it, they're still on the hook for the deposit.
Respectfully, I would disagree with that analysis,
okay,
Your Honor. And I think the revised code 23-35-38 provides the trial court with considerable discretion to handle that situation and assess costs accordingly. So should the matter proceed to a jury trial, and it was the non-demanding party and non-advancing party that wanted the case to proceed to a jury trial, well, then the trial court would have the discretion to assess those costs accordingly.
But why should that be discretionary? So if the plaintiff makes a jury demand, pays the deposit, wants to withdraw the jury, defense does not want jury withdrawn. Plaintiff has put up the $500 only, correct? There's not two deposits?
Correct.
So then the plaintiff has to pay for what becomes the jury's demand for, I mean, the defendant's demand for jury.
I believe under that analysis, the plaintiff would advance those costs, and then ultimately, depending on how the trial court would determine the taxing of costs, would determine who ultimately pays them.
But didn't you say that was discretionary? So in fact, the plaintiff could pay for a jury trial that the plaintiff no longer wants.
The plaintiff could, and that is, I suppose, a risk that the plaintiff takes by advancing that deposit.
So if you agree with Justice DeWine, does the court need to determine whether or not the local rule is in conflict? The civil rules state that courts can adopt local rules as long as they're not in conflict with our rules. So does the court, if you agree with Justice DeWine, do we have to decide whether the local rule is in conflict?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the current local rule in Delaware County, the way it is written and the strict application of that local rule, does still result in a conflict with the exclusive methods of withdrawal under Civil Rule 39. And for this case, but also for future cases, for plaintiffs, and I see my time is up.
Please finish.
For future plaintiffs and defendants of civil litigants in Delaware County, I believe it's important to resolve this conflict under Civil Rule 83 and correct the issue, not only for this case, but future cases as well, and to set the standard for future, the other 87 counties, should they adopt similar rules to Delaware County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Yarnell.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy. May it please the court. Elisa Yarnell representing the estate of Catherine Tomlinson. Your Honors, jury demands and jury deposits are different requirements that are governed by different rules under our Ohio system. The reason we are here today is because Megapool did not pay its jury deposit as required by the local rule.
Okay, Megapool, your client paid a jury deposit, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And the civil rule says that you made a demand for trial by jury may not be withdrawn without the consent of the parties. Did the other side consent to you withdrawing your jury demand?
We did not withdraw our jury demand, Your Honor. And the way that that's made perfectly obvious by the record is that the jury demand was
still— Well, if you demanded a trial by jury, then, and you didn't withdraw the demand, then that seems to be the end of the story.
I disagree, Your Honor, and the reason for that is because the jury demand was still on file. We did not ask to withdraw it.
There's a jury demand on trial. They want a jury trial, so there should be a jury trial then. I mean, that's, if it's not withdrawn, you've asked for
Your Honor, the missing step is that there was required to be a deposit paid by the party that was seeking a jury trial at the time of trial, right? And so
how is that consistent with 38D?
Your Honor, because 38D is only talking about jury demands, not jury deposits. What 38D says is that the demand itself, which has to be filed within 14 days of the pleadings closing, that cannot be drawn without the consent of the parties. And Megapool always had the right to rely on the jury demand that Ms. Tomlinson filed. That was still throughout the time when we were actually leading up to trial, that was available for Megapool. What they did not have the right to do was to rely on Ms. Tomlinson's jury deposit because—
So you think that every time one side demands a jury trial, if the other side wants to be sure that it's really going to be a jury trial, that they have to proactively make a duplicative jury deposit?
That is what the Delaware County local rule says, and Your Honor, there are certainly ways that this could be addressed if that is a concern. There are multiple ways, actually. So if Megapool always knew that they wanted a jury trial, then they could have filed a joint deposit.
Have you ever seen anyone file a joint deposit?
Your Honor, I have not tried that many cases in Delaware County, and
are you aware of any case where anyone's ever done that?
Well, Your Honor, most courts have different rules with respect to jury deposits, and so the way Delaware County's rule protects both parties' right to a jury trial is different than the way other courts do, and so this is not a situation that's going to come up frequently where in any court in the state of Ohio, you would need to file a joint deposit in order to preserve your right.
If we decide the case your way, certainly in Delaware County, everyone would now have to file a joint deposit, and I guess you'd have to go, it's kind of a buyer beware, go look at the local rules carefully in every place and watch for gamesmanship of someone withdrawing a jury demand.
Well, Your Honor, I do think the key here is paying attention to what the local rules said, and that is That's consistent with this court's jurisprudence going back for decades in the Vorsett case, which this court decided in 1980. The court said there is no excuse for the failure of any member of the bar to understand or to comply with the local rules. Any litigant availing himself of the jurisdiction of the court is subjected to those rules. And so it's counsel's obligation to be aware of what the local rules say.
So under your theory, you can make a jury demand. That jury demand cannot be withdrawn. But what you can do is you can get around that by just withdrawing your deposit. And if you withdraw your deposit, then even though you've demanded a jury trial, even though you timely paid your fine, once you then the other side doesn't have a right to a jury trial anymore, because despite what 38D says.
If the other side has waived their right to a jury under the local rule.
Well, waive is a conscious relinquishment of a known right. Was there any waiver?
The local rule specifically says that a party seeking a jury trial must pay the $500 deposit. Failure to pay the deposit is deemed a waiver of the jury. Both parties in this case approached trial with that being the local rule and had the option to either pay the deposit or not. And the failure to pay the deposit on Megapool's behalf was, per local rule, a waiver of the jury. And that is exactly the type of local rule that in the Walters versus Griffith case, this court said is a reasonable and moderate regulation of the jury trial right. And there's now, that being said, if the trial court perceived that a party was engaging in gamesmanship and being unfair, the trial court always retains discretion to have a jury trial anyway. And that's something that we see in the Court of Appeals decisions that have been applying Walters versus Griffith for that have been applying Walters versus Griffith for nearly 50 years, where if the local rules are not followed, but for whatever reason the trial court says we should have a jury trial anyway, then that's within the trial court's discretion. And that's under Civil Rule 39, makes clear that even if there is no right to a jury trial, the trial court can say, I think we should have a jury trial anyway.
What I find troubling in this case is you didn't come to an independent conclusion that you wanted to have a bench trial. This was at the initiation of the judge or the magistrate, right?
It was initiated by the magistrate, Your Honor, but I think it was a little bit more complicated how it played out.
Well, you were trying to figure out when you were going to have this jury trial and when the court was going to afford it, as courts are supposed to do. And here's the finder of fact telling you, hey, let me decide this case for you. Isn't that what happened in this case?
Sort of, Your Honor. So when the trial date was approaching, the court initially believed that it would not be able to hold a jury trial on the scheduled trial date due to COVID. This is the trial date was in 2020, and there was a major backlog with respect to jury trials. And so that was initially what the court believed. At that time, my client really reconsidered whether we believed we needed a jury trial during COVID to have our case heard. And came to the conclusion that we did not believe we needed a jury trial and were willing to waive that jury trial right. And then at some point after that decision had been made, the trial court then said, we do have the opportunity before a visiting judge to have a jury trial. And then at that point invited Megapool's counsel to seek leave to make a late deposit and said, we could still go forward with the jury trial as scheduled if you would like a jury trial. And the very next day after, and that email is in the record, that email from the magistrate, the very next day, trial counsel for Megapool filed a motion that asked for a jury trial to be held in January, not in September, and said we're entitled to a jury trial because of COVID, we want it to be continued. And the trial court said no. And there was never an acknowledgement of what the local rule required. There was never any kind of a request. They never asked us if we would object to a late jury deposit, anything of that sort. And so the trial court, that was what the trial court was faced with. And at that point, the trial court said, no, we'll just hold a bench trial.
Excuse me.
It'll be easier that way.
I don't find anything in the in Civil Rule 39 that says that a court can force parties to do a jury trial. In 39A, the court, on its own initiative, can find that a right of trial by jury of some or all of certain issues does not exist. In Civil Rule 39, I don't find it in 38, and unless you can point someplace to me in the civil rules, I don't see any place where a trial by jury is initiated by the court.
Your Honor, if I suggested the trial by jury would be initiated by a court, I must have misspoken. I think what Civil Rule 39 says is that even in B, notwithstanding the failure of a party to demand a jury or at a party's request, and also in 39C, there can be an advisory jury or there are a variety of different ways in which a jury trial could be held anyway, even though one of the parties has waived their jury, or both parties have technically waived their jury, but someone would still like to hold a jury trial. But I think what you have in our case falls under Civil Rule 39.2, where the court finds that a right of trial by jury does not exist, and here that was due to waiver by Megapool under the local rules.
So are you saying they waived it because they didn't pay the initial deposit, or they waived it because when given the opportunity after your client wanted to withdraw, they did not say, yes, we want to go forward with the jury and here's our deposit?
Your Honor, I would say both. So first they waived by not paying the deposit timely, but then again, when invited to substitute their own deposit, that was something that was not acted upon.
So what would have been the difference between the court inviting Megapool to tender the deposit and go forward with the jury trial, or granting Megapool's motion to go forward with the trial because they did not consent to the withdrawal? So in other words, why did the trial court offer one without the other, unless you're saying, well, the trial court's saying because you didn't pay your deposit, you've waived. You can't piggyback onto the Tomlinson estate deposit.
Right, Your Honor. I think it's hard to you can't really read into beyond what the trial court said, which was the trial court was enforcing its local rule, and when you have a valid local rule, it's not an abuse of discretion to just enforce that as written. But the court seemed to believe that there was some kind of disregard of its local rules on the part of Megapool or its counsel, and that's something that should not be taken for granted. The consideration and following the local rules is important.
Well, but I don't understand why the local rule can't be read consistently with the civil rule. The local rule says if a party is seeking a jury trial, the party must submit $500 jury deposit. And the civil rule says a jury waiver can't be withdrawn without consent of the other side. So if one party has submitted a jury deposit, why shouldn't the other side be entitled to rely upon that deposit and that demand with the knowledge that the other side can't withdraw that demand without their consent?
Your Honor, there are a couple of points in response.
I guess what I'm really having trouble with is this: well, we can withdraw our deposit, but we can't withdraw without withdrawing our demand. The two seem to be connected.
Your Honor, well, the rules as they are currently written do not connect the two. And so what you actually have...
Well, they kind of do. If a party is seeking a jury trial, the party must submit a $500 jury deposit. That connects the two. If a party is seeking, the party must. That seems like a connection.
They are both concepts that are required in order to obtain a jury trial. But the rule... Civil Rule 38, which governs jury demands, says absolutely nothing about jury deposits. The only thing you need to do under Rule 38 to get a jury trial is to file and serve your jury demand within the time that's required in Rule 38. The local rule requires a jury deposit. Now, in the Walters case, this court said that those two things are consistent with one another. You can both require a jury demand within 14 days of close of pleadings, and you can require a jury deposit in some amount to be paid by some other deadline, and both of those are required in order to secure your jury, but that doesn't mean that they are connected in the sense that the withdrawal rules under 38 somehow also apply to the waiver concept of a jury deposit because the rules are different. Otherwise, Your Honor, what you would have is you would have to have a rule that requires the deposit to be paid at the same time that the jury demand is made in order for Rule 38 to be satisfied.
Not necessarily. Why couldn't the other side say, oh, there has been a jury demand made. Let me confirm that there was a deposit. Well, there's a deposit made, so they've perfected their right to a jury trial. They can't undo that right without my consent, so I can rely on that. That seems...
Your Honor, the rule could provide for that, and the fact is that the rule here does not provide for that, and that's the difference. And I see my time has expired. If there are no other questions, we would respectfully request that the court...
Just let me ask one final one. If you hadn't withdrawn and you went to a jury trial, the trial would have gone on with the jury with just your deposit. Is that correct? And would you have any grounds to, if the outcome wasn't in your favor, to challenge the fact that the other side didn't pay a deposit? Because the local rules requires that, right?
Right. I think, Your Honor, see, this is the flip side of the coin where it's still going to be subject to the trial court's discretion as to what happens in a situation where it changes which party wants the jury trial. And so Megapool wants, obviously, that to be in their favor and for them to get the benefit of the default and for us to be relying on the court's discretion contrary to what the local rule provided. I think that's the difference here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Graber, you have time remaining. So begin where Justice DeWine left off. Is there a conflict or can they be read harmoniously?
Of course, Your Honor. It is the appellant's position that there is a conflict that exists between the two rules. And where the conflict exists is that the local rule permits a party, after they have already perfected and attached a jury trial right, to withdraw that jury trial right if another party to the action has not separately paid their own deposit. And that is another method of withdrawal of a perfected and attached jury trial right. And that method of withdrawal is not listed under Civil Rule 39. And what Civil Rule 39 is an exclusive list of withdrawal.
But let me ask it a little differently. Assume that somebody says jury trial demand endorsed hereon or whatever on the complaint, but never pays the $500. Is there a right to a jury trial by the defendant?
There is not, Your Honor. And that is a very good question, and that points to a difference of cases, essentially. You have, if we look at two categories of cases, you have the cases of effectuating a jury demand, and then you have the cases of withdrawing an already perfected demand. And where the trial court, the appellate court, and the appellee cite really just a string cite of cases that stem from the Walters v. Griffith case, is on the effectuation position, where a party makes a demand and fails to pay the deposit. No party to the action ever paid the deposit. And so no jury trial right ever attached. Civil Rule 39 was never implicated. There's no issue of withdrawal because there's no right that ever attached to withdrawal. The flip side of it and the facts that are involved in this case is the withdrawal category of cases, where the right does attach. And what Civil Rule 39 tells us is once that right does attach, it can only be withdrawn as provided by this court in the exclusive methods within Civil Rule 39.
Do you agree to your opposing counsel's procedural statement that once they wanted to withdraw, the trial court gave you the opportunity to pay the deposit and keep the jury trial?
Well, Your Honor, it's difficult to speak to the conversations that are not part of the record evidence because there was different trial counsel for the appellants. But I believe that is somewhat reflected that there was an opportunity to submit a deposit by the appellants.
And maintain the jury trial.
And leave it to the discretion of the court to maintain a jury trial in that.
Why would it be discretionary with the court?
Because at that point, it would be an issue of violating Civil Rule 39, the appellants accepting that violation of Civil Rule 39, and then complying after essentially a late compliance, which points to the standard of review in this case. And there was a mention of an abuse of discretion. Again, that gets into two sets of circumstances. The set of circumstances that didn't happen in this case was a party not attaching their jury trial right and then trying to, at a late stage in the game, submit a deposit and substantially complying with the local rule, leaving it to the discretion of the court to determine if there should be a jury trial. That would be the circumstance that you just mentioned, Your Honor. What did occur in this case is the jury trial right did attach upon compliance with the civil and the local rules. And the issue here is a strict legal question of what do the local rules say? What do the civil rules say? Do they conflict? And that is reviewed de novo, contrary to the opponent of the appellee's position. In conclusion, the appellants would request that a new jury trial be ordered on all triable issues. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will receive a decision from the court.